it's only natural that we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to go to the book of Matthew to do it. Matthew 27, a really fascinating scripture that God showed me this week, and I thought it was just fascinating. I'm excited about preaching. I hope I don't stumble all over the place. Get excited. You hear good preaching, and all them brothers preaching this week, and Reverend Jones this morning, and you just make you want to preach. Amen. Good preaching ought to make you want to preach. Bad preaching ought to make you want to preach. Amen. So hopefully some of you guys want to preach after today, good or bad. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. Let's start at 50. I'm going to start at 50. If you can't stand long, don't. We're going to read 16 verses. Shouldn't be long. It's exciting. Matthew chapter 27, 50 through 60, 66. Very familiar. Very, very familiar. But just like brand new. Amen. Amen. Jesus went, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake. And the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints. Hold on. All right, let me read 52 again, y'all. Get caught up now. Stay with me. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day, that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." They heard him right. "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, you have your watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I just want to speak just a little bit on making your salvation as sure as you can. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for not coming down from the cross. Thank you, Father God, for staying up there if it was just for me. Thank you, Father God, not only for dying for our sin, but thank you, Father God, for the power of the resurrection that solidified everything. Thank you, Father God, for rising up, empowering us to live good and godly lives. Father God, I pray right now for the souls of these folks, that you would empower them, that you would give them that resurrection power, power to cancel sin, power to walk worthy in all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our guests. Let them be blessed. Let them leave here in power. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Make your salvation as sure as you can. That word sure means to be confident. To not only be confident, to be certain. To be definite, to be positive about what you believe. Amen. 2 Peter 1:10 says this. He said, brethren, and this is after he said, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge wisdom, and to your wisdom self-control, and to all that. He said in verse number 10, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, unto the kingdom, to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Please, Father, give someone right now the power to make their calling and election sure. There's so many scriptures that talks about that. Let me take you to Job real quick. Job talked about this confidence that we ought to have. And then we're going to talk about how Pilate got it. Look at Job 19. Big book. If you find Psalms, you really close to Job. Just go to your left if you find Psalms. Go to your left a little bit. And look at Job 19. 25, and we ought to feel like this. This ought to be part of our repertoire here. He says, Job, after being mocked by his wife, being mocked by the children of the city, sitting out being warts and sore boils all over him, he hadn't done nothing. His friends had turned their back on him. Anybody been there? Anybody been sick? Felt like God had turned his back on you. Your friends had turned your back on you. Your wife had turned her back on you. What would Job say? Job wasn't stunned. Job said, listen. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that word know means I am sure. I am confident of this. He said, I know. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Somebody said, well, I don't know about the resurrection being in the Bible. Larry, you know, we might just heard some of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, talking about Jesus standing in that last day. He's going to stand for you and he's going to stand for me. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know we're just going to flip a little bit and we're going to get into something good today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's talking to young Timothy. talking to young Timothy, preparing him. Paul's on his deathbed. You talk to somebody on their deathbed. If you talk to a man or woman of God on their deathbed, they ought to have some encouragement to say to you. They ought not be talking about, oh, I don't want to go. I ain't ready to die. The man of God, the woman of God that's full of the Holy Spirit, know that their Redeemer lives, know that heaven is a beautiful place, will encourage the ones that's coming up behind them. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Here's Paul. He said, for which cause I suffer these things. Paul's getting ready to get his head cut off. Keep reading. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, for which cause I suffer these things. How many know in this life you're going to suffer? I like to say, you're not on a cruise ship. See, the Christian ain't on a cruise ship. See, a lot of Christians want to be on a cruise ship. They want smooth sailing. They ain't been smooth for some of the cruise ships lately. Okay. See, but the captain of this ship is not going to jump out and bail out on you. We on a battleship, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, we on a battleship. Paul said, for this cause, I also suffer these things. There will be casualties. There will be injury. There will be losses. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my wounds. I'm not ashamed of my trials, my ups and downs, my good days and my bad days. Paul said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know. Make your calling an election show. Make sure you know something. I said it this morning, Reverend Jones is preaching. I just came out of me. Listen, you only get to die once. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed on the man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You only get to die once. You better die good. You better die in the Lord. Because when you get to hell, if you're not saved, all you can do is pray for your family. They're still alive. I always say everybody in hell is saved. Everybody in hell believe in Jesus. Paul says it. For which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know who I have believed. And I am persuaded. That word persuaded means totally convinced. He said, I am persuaded that he is able. That word able means powerful, strong, and mighty. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What have you committed? Unto the Lord. What have you committed? What are you holding back? God says, let it go. No man is worthy of me who's not willing to let go of his life. Let's go back to our text. Matthew 27. We see old Pilate. Some folks don't like Pilate. I think Pilate didn't change here. Pilate didn't turn the corner here. Pilate didn't turn the corner here. I read this thing. I say Pilate didn't turn the corner. He's starting to get a little jazzy. You ever told somebody something? They say, oh man, I ain't done that stuff. And then they come back and they didn't fell into that sin. They didn't fell into that error of their ways. And you sitting back, and you're standing into yourself. You might not want to hurt their feeling, but in your inside, you say, told you. Told you not to marry him. Told you not to fool with her. Then you come back all broke up. Told you. This is what Paul's saying. This is what Pilate is saying to these folks. Now they come into Pilate. Let's pick it up. Here we see this centurion. Now being because I'm in the security business, if we have a situation at the prison and it's in my unit, that warden's going to call me and say, what is going on? What happened? And then you know what? I need to have an answer. Okay? Now you better believe one thing. Pilate had already found Jesus innocent. He said, I found no fault in this just man. He found him innocent 3 times at least. He didn't want to have nothing to do with this just man. But when he scourged him in front of the people, he scourged him. He even said, I'll offer him to you But the people wanted Barabbas. They said, crucify him. Amen. And we had the young people out here waving the flags and Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh yeah. Y'all have friends like that. They turn on you real quick, don't they? Amen. And the people turned on him. And they wanted Barabbas. They wanted a warrior. They wanted a fighter. And so Pilate had offered them all that. I'm going to crucify him. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm washing my hands of this. And so he called a centurion. He said, now go ahead and crucify him. And a centurion is one of a captain of 100 men. Okay? And there ain't no chumps. Okay? These guys are bad dudes here. You don't be a centurion Roman army unless you a bad, bad man. You a bad, bad man. You a centurion. And so he called the centurion and said, what was going on out there? It got dark in the palace. The ground started shaking. What was going on? And the centurion gave Pilate his report. Gave him his report. Pilate said, what happened? And the centurion watching these things, verse number 50. Let's go back to verse number 50. The centurion watching these things. He watching these things. That Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice. Let me tell you something. That wasn't no regular cry. Couldn't none of you holler as loud as Jesus cried. I believe it was one of them archangel cries that we find in 1 Thessalonians where the archangel, when the trump of God shall sound. I believe it was piercing. I believe everybody in the region heard this cry. Some folks say, well, he was just crying loud. No. I believe this was loud enough for everyone to hear. Miles away. Jesus said, verse 50, when he had cried with a loud voice. Now this is the centurion explaining this thing to Pilate. And behold, he said, now at the same time he cried, he gave up the ghost. Something just left out of him. And he said, about the same time something left out of him, people started running all over the place from the temple because it was the same time that the sacrifice was being offered. And the people from the temple just running crazy. Just going, the veil of the temple just got ripped in half. And that had to make a lot of noise too. God was not happy. God was not happy. And he rent the veil of the temple. And the word of God say, and the earth did quake. Oh, some of us was here when the earthquake not long ago. The earth quaked a little bit. Had a couple of my little foster kids was in the house. One of them was in the house, always into something bad as he could be. And the whole house shook. And he come running upstairs. I didn't do it. I never forget. He thought he did it. I said, you's a bad little rascal, ain't you? I said, you ain't that bad, though. You ain't make the house shake. But the earth did shake. The earth shake. And the Bible said, and the rocks rent. Now some people look at that. What do you mean the rocks rent? The rocks cracked in half. Rocks were used to cover the tombs. So the rocks cracked in half. So the saints. What did you say, Reverend? So the saints could come out. The saints are coming, not the ain'ts. See, the ain'ts ain't coming out. Don't y'all write out that S on there. The saints which slept arose. And know where they was heading? See, when you rose up, you was heading to church. They was heading to the house of God. That's what that says there. And it says, then the saints got up. See, if the ain'ts would have got up, they'd have headed. Oh, y'all know where they would have headed. Oh, yeah, they would have headed somewhere else. But that saints rose up out of the grave, listen, and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city. They went to fellowship. They went to the holy city to witness to those that were there to tell them that the resurrection is the real deal. They went to tell those that were still alive that you have nothing to fear. We coming up out of this grave. And they went to the holy city. Now this is the centurion explaining this to Pilate. Listen. Now when the centurion, he said, Pilate, Pilate, you know I'm a bad man. But when I saw this stuff going on, he said, the centurion said, Me and my 100 boys, we weren't drinking that much. We was watching Jesus. That's what he's saying. He said they were watching Jesus. That's what they were paid to do. They knew the price, the cost of Jesus being freed or released or anything happening would have cost them their life. So they pleaded to Pilate. They said, Pilate, we was watching Jesus. We was watching Jesus and saw the earthquake. We saw the ground crack. We saw the earth shake. And those things that were done, we've seen it all, Paul. Pilate, we've seen it all. And they were still trembling. They were still shaking. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. God was angry. God was angry. God was angry at the way they treated his son. And they said they feared greatly. And saying, listen, not just the centurion, but all of them saying the same thing. Truly. Truly. Truly, this was the Son of God. Pilate's getting this report. He's getting this report. Now we say, Pilate, what made him so confident? He was getting there already. If you look at verse 19 of John 19:19, Pilate had wrote the sign. He said, this is the King of the Jews. And the Jewish people said, don't write that. Write down that he said he was the King of the Jews. Pilate said, that which I have written is written. Pilate was already starting to get a little confident here. But things was happening. Things was happening. Look at the next people to come see him. Here comes Joseph of Arimathea in verse 64. Look at verse 64. Let me roll down this text. I don't want to leave these women out. I don't want to leave these women out. It says in 55 and 56, these women was watching. They was watching. They was watching because they didn't think that Joseph was going to do the right thing with the body. See, you can't do it like a woman. That was really a woman's job. That was a woman's job to take care of that body, to anoint that body with those spices and myrrh. And then women stood there watching. And the Bible says they came early the next day to take care of the business. They didn't care about that rock being there. Listen. Joseph came. Joseph of Arimathea. That word Arimathea means highness. It means the highest. Okay? Look at verse 57. And when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was a Jesus disciple. Some people say, well, he was a secret agent disciple. He didn't want to come out in the blue. You know, it's almost hard to come out anymore. There's so many fake and phony, corny Christians running around here. It's almost, you don't even want to identify with some of them. So many just fake, just not real. Living double and triple and quadruple lives. Amen. So maybe Joseph seen all these phony balonies and say, you know what, I'm just going to keep minding myself. All right. I'm not going to identify. Some Christians you don't even want to identify with. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Too blessed to be stressed. Praise the Lord. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. 10 minutes later, cussing somebody out over here. Cussing somebody out over there. Staring the women down. So Joseph, don't get on Joseph for keeping it to himself. Some of y'all might need to keep yours to yourself. He's a rich man.
Amen.
I was talking to Hey, this morning about this. I said, listen, let me think about this. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 2, there's an eerie thing going on here. Because rich man from the west came. I hope from the east, excuse me. They came to the king. At this time, it was Herod. And in Matthew 2 and verse 2, they came saying, "Where is this king? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel, all Jerusalem with him. It ain't good when a king is troubled, especially an evil king. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "Bethlehem of Judah, for it is written by the prophet that in thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art thou not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor which shall rule my people." Amen. Herod had reason to be troubled.
All right.
But look at verse 11. And keep Joseph of Arimathea in mind. Look at verse 11. "And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." I have to make emphasis on that because some folks like to worship Mary. But they came and worshipped him.
Amen.
"And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Okay? Go back to our text. What did Joseph of Arimathea come with? He came with myrrh. Myrrh is a burial fragrance or perfume. And he was at his birth given myrrh as a sign that he was going to die. Jesus came to die. He came to die for our sins. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man came to die for the sins of the world. He came to seek and save the lost." Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's begged for the body of Jesus. Now, in that begging, you can't just go to the king and say, "Give me the body of Jesus." He had to explain to Pilate why. He says, "Because it is prophesied that he is going to die for the sins of the world and to be risen, raised on the third day." He said himself that he was going to rise on the third day. He said it many times. Now, some theologians would even say that wasn't even a tomb that Joseph of Arimathea ever planned on living in, because no rich man, as rich as he was, would have a tomb that close to a cemetery. I believe Joseph got the news, of Arimathea got the news early that this man was who he said he was and started preparing that tomb. I believe that. And it says in verse 58, when Pilate, he went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus, and Pilate, look at him, commanded. Pilate gets strong. Pilate had heard from the centurion, and now he's heard from Joseph of Arimathea. Now again, I believe that Nicodemus was with them, because the word of God said they came and they had over 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. In today's economy, that would be close to $200,000 worth of perfume. Okay, so they was all in. And it'll also cost them everything. Folks, let me tell you something. If you got a relationship with Jesus that's not costing you anything, you better count up the cost. Because when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to the Lord and announced themselves as his disciples, they lost everything. They were immediately ostracized from the synagogue and from their positions. And don't forget, Nicodemus was the ruler of the Jews. He was the baddest man in town. And if you study it, you will find out that he died a poor man. He died a poor man. Listen, he might have died a poor man, but if he was born again, he is a rich man now. Listen, look at verse 60. Look at verse 59. "And Joseph
after Pilate commanded him, was given the body. He took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen and laid it in the new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Folks, don't stop there. Before he rolled that stone back and he wrapped him in that clean linen, he embalmed him with over 100 pounds of. See, Jesus had to be really dead. Y'all ever heard of the swoon theory? Anybody heard the swoon theory? Some of the people teach the swoon theory. I was studying this, and they did a survey in 2004 of over 7,500 pastors, and only 51% of them believe in the resurrection. So, you know, there's a whole lot of preachers preaching Sunday mornings that don't believe in the resurrection. Okay? Before you join a church, or if you had a church now, you ask your pastor, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? That's the first question you ought to ask. And he ought to answer that really, really quick. Because he hung. You need to start backpedaling. Because if he is not risen, all our faith is vain. Which means it's nothing. It's nothing. Okay? Now there's a whole lot of preachers don't believe in the resurrection. Some of y'all out there might not. Some of y'all maybe believe in the swoon theory. That word swoon means he just lost consciousness while he was on the cross and fainted. And they took him down and they resuscitated him. You know, they went to Rita and took her CPR class and maybe Mike and Rita worked on him. Brought him back. No. He had to be really dead. Now this is what makes verse number 60 so critical, so important. They laid him in his new tomb. Wait a minute, he didn't just lay him in there. He embalmed him. And when they embalm you in that day, they fill your nostrils and your ears and your mouth with these perfumes and myrrh. It's like a sand. And it makes sure that there's no life in you. Jesus was really dead. Not dead like some of the word of faith people teach that he had to go to hell and stay down there and be punished by all the demons in hell. We're not going there. He was really dead in this cell. In this tomb. Okay? Now, verse 60. They rolled back the stone. Now, why is all this important? Pastor, you people spend a lot of time on this. Listen. He had to be really dead to be really resurrected. Okay? I hear stories all of you know, people. Well, you know, he brought back from the dead. We just got to make sure he was really dead. Amen. You can be under the water for a little while and, you know, oh, that was a miracle. He was dead. They brought him back from the dead. Listen. Make sure he really dead. Okay? Now, you go to the funeral home, to the funeral party. You go over to L.A. Black. And L.A. Black then embalmed him. And somebody come in there and raise him up, and you know that person was really dead. But guess what? That ain't never happened. It's not on record. Okay? Jesus walking through town in a funeral, you know, you might be at the Dairy Queen over there on the north side, and you standing in line, and here come a funeral procession. You and the pop, you run out of the street. Hold up. Tell Miss Black, I got this. Touch that casket. You're your son. Good as new. Don't happen. If it happened, you would see it on Oprah. It would be on Oprah. Y'all would have seen it. Listen, people. And he laid, verse 60, in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Y'all know something? Joseph of Arimathea knew something. Why was Joseph going through all this? Because he knew the Jews, the wicked, evil Jews, they wanted to come into that tomb and take that body after 3 days and parade it around the whole town saying, he ain't risen. He is right here. And all they was doing was making the resurrection more credible. Watch this, people. Pilate has heard from the centurion, and he's heard from Joseph of Arimathea, and Joseph of Arimathea has done what he said he was going to do. Now, here come these evil workers. Oh, they're going to show up now. They're going to show up. They have to show up. Listen, now the next day, verse 62, that followed the day of preparation. The day of preparation. Young preachers, explain that to the people. Make sure they understand. The day of preparation is the day before the Sabbath. That's the day that you prepare your Sabbath because you can't do nothing on the Sabbath. They were so, these Pharisees, they, you know, they follow all the rules. But they got murderous thoughts, they won't kill Jesus. But they follow all the rules. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the Sabbath, they plotting, they had the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Now they coming with their story. Now Pilate had heard two good ones. He had heard two good ones now. Now he going to hear these folks. Now here come the wicked ones with their story. Now, verse 63. Saying, sir, ain't that something? Ain't that how it is? We so disrespectful to God, but we get to work and we stir our bosses. Oh, sir, yes, ma'am. We get home and be disrespectful to the ones that we really love and the ones that love us. But they go, we go to work. Oh, he'd do anything for the boss. He says, sir. Pilate just, I'm so sick of y'all. I can hear him now. Y'all just messed up my whole week. We remember that the deceiver, who's the deceiver? They say Christ is the deceiver. Who really the deceiver? Now they saying, now Pilate is smart. Now you don't get to become the governor of all of Jerusalem by being a knucklehead. He was a smart man. He obviously had the gift of discernment. I know he did. He found Jesus not guilty over and over and over. Now these guys are coming. We remember that what the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. You heard it right. You heard it right. Now listen to what they want to do. They want to do what Joseph already started. All
right.
They said, command therefore that the sepulcher, the grave, be made sure until the third day. That's all they cared about. The third day. Okay? Command that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, because after the third day, we going in there and getting that body out. And we're going to parade it around town and lie and let the people know that this Jesus that y'all believe in was a liar. And see, I believe Pilate knew the game. He knew the game. Pilate said, he says, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure. These are the Pharisees talking, until the third day, lest his disciples come by night. These disciples weren't coming at all. They were scared out of their wits. They was hiding. They wasn't going to approach nobody in that town. No way. They making up stuff. He says, command that therefore the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error, that word error means deceit, or deceit shall be worse than the first. And Pilate just took all that and said, you know what? Y'all, that sounds crazy as y'all. He said, that sounds crazy. Now watch this. This is where we at, folks. This is where we at right now. This is us. Pilate said unto them, you have your watch. You have your watch. Pilate gave them a Roman watch. Some people say, well, it was a temple guard. They gave them. No, he didn't give them the temple guards. These were Roman soldiers that Pilate gave them. No, they were temple guards. No, they wasn't. Well, why, preacher? Because he would not have put the Roman seal on the work of temple guards, of Jewish temple guards. Amen. That's always been a, well, they were temple guards. No, they weren't temple guards. Because he gave them a Roman seal. Look what he says. And Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as ye can. Make it sure. How sure are you? How sure are you? That's a great question. I'm preaching you on that every Sunday. I probably will be on this every Sunday until I leave this earth. That's the job. That's the job. That's right. Whatever somebody said is right. Who are you? How sure are you? Pilate said, go make as sure as you can. So they went and made the supplicant sure, sealing the stone. Now, when I was young, I thought that meant they like got some caulking and sealed it all around and sealed it like that. That's what I thought. But a seal is just like a rope. They put a rope around that, around the width of that door or that big boulder, and it probably weighed 3 tons. When Joseph of Arimathea set it, it went down and down into it like a channel, and locked it with a spike. He would spike a lock into it, into the ground, and that thing could not push it up. Okay, now he locked that thing in place. That was airtight. Now, for those who believe in that swoon theory, tell your pastor who teaches the swoon theory. Say, take 39 lashes by some big angry men that don't care. And then allow them to nail you to a cross. Sit you out in the hot Palestinian sun, a Palestine sun, for 6 hours. And then take you down. Put you in an airtight tomb. Put sand in your mouth and your ears and your eyes. And put you in an airtight tomb for 36 hours. And then tell me about the swoon. Jesus was really dead. And in verse 60, they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And a watch could be a number of soldiers watching this. These were Roman soldiers, and they took turns. Two would sleep, two would watch. Two would sleep, two would watch. And that seal was what you would see at a crime scene today. Now, next time you see with that yellow tape, just take a little happy self with all the cops around and run up in that crime scene. See what happened. See what happened. You come back and tell me. Okay? But I'm not coming down to the courtroom begging for you. Not that kind of preacher. You do something foolish, I don't know who you need to call. But you're never going to make a fool out of me. And let that land where it land. Okay. Listen. How's your testimony? Does it match up with the centurion's testimony? Do you remember the darkness? Do you remember the darkness? Do you remember the days when we hung around in the dark? We loved the dark. We slept all day and we loved the dark. Do you remember when God called you out of darkness? This got to be in your resume. Do you remember yelling at the top of your voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Have you ever felt like God had forsaken you, had just left you? God has left the building. You felt like you was on your own. Have you ever just been so down, you just cried at the top of your voice? Do you remember the explosion when God confronted your sin and wickedness? Do you remember the ground shaking? Because you have to make a decision. When God has called you out of darkness and you feel like God has forsaken you, and the world, your whole world feel like it's just coming apart.
Yes, sir.
The rocks rent. Mm-hmm. All your buddies and all your friends have turned their back on you. Some of us need to get there.
Yes,
some of us need to get there. That may be the way of salvation for some of us. Some of us have landed on too soft a ground. Some of us need that life-changing message, that life-changing confrontation. Listen, folks, you can get that today. God don't have to speak loud to you. The farther you get away from the Savior, the louder He has to call you. And don't no one like being hollered at. I don't think any child in here want to be hollered at by their parents. So they stay close to their parents. We need to stay close to the Savior. What about you today? Where you at? Are you still in darkness? Are you so far from God? Reverend Jones said it this morning. He said that Jesus and his parents, they had went to the Passover, and on their way back, they was ahead of the crowd, and Jesus was left behind. And they had 2 days, I believe 2 days, maybe three, and they went back and they couldn't find Jesus. He was in the temple, learning and teaching. Where are you at? How far are you from Jesus today? How far are you from Jesus today? Jesus died for your sins. Not only died for your sins, but He rose from the grave that you know that He had all power over life and death. And He's right now speaking to us. He's speaking to us this morning. Saying today.